Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone back to Cool Elohim, Daughter of Yisra'ah. I'm your host, Malka, coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland. That's Yahweh Assembly. Tonight we have a special show. We're actually sitting here with a majority of the sisterhood of Beth Yahweh Assembly, a group of the finest women you can ever find, women that I love personally dearly. We have a very strong sisterhood and a love for one another. And tonight we decided to share with Yisrael the sisterhood of Beth Yahweh and kind of dialogue a little bit of the different issues that on our heart and different things that has been placed in our heart as the Father has this place on our heart to discuss and how we feel about certain issues going on in Yisrael. So, you know, the Father put it on my heart this morning that we would just gather together because usually our sisters, when we get together, we always have good conversations because it always leads back one way or the other. And so we're going to allow everyone out there to peek into our sisterhood and join some of the conversation. Tonight we have an array of my sisters, and as they speak, I'm going to just ask them to introduce themselves and just share how long they've been in the assembly, and then we'll start the discussion going. I'm going to go ahead and start to my left, Sister Eliana.
My name is Eliana, and I've been in the congregation for 19 years.
Hallelujah.
Hello, my name is Sister Ahava. I've been in the congregation for about 23 years now.
When you think about it, right?
Do the math.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Shalom. And this is Samaria.
I've been fellowshipping, worshiping, that's for 22.
Shalom, this is Aliora, and I've been
with
the assembly for over.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Paul Ema Debra, and I've been with the congregation for 25 years.
Hallelujah.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cynthia. I've been with the congregation for 5 years now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sister
Pierce,
and I've been
a congregation
for 10 years.
Hallelujah. We have two sisters online. Sister Moria, can you introduce yourself? Are you able to hear me?
Hey.
Oh, shalom. My name is Moria. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm not in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm in Union, New Jersey. You know where my heart is at. And I've been a part of this congregation now for about 21 years.
Hallelujah. Sister Miriam, are you there?
Yeah, Sister Miriam. I've been in faith for like, I think it was like 28 and a half. Mm.
Hallelujah. So we have...
Cheryl on there, too.
Cheryl.
She's on the line with me.
Okay, I don't hear her. We don't hear her.
Emma Cheryl. She must have muted her thing. I don't know.
She's
on there. Okay. Mm-hmm.
As everyone can hear, that we have sisters that have been here from 5 years all the way to 28 years, and one thing that we have to acknowledge is we've gone through some growth together as a sisterhood, and the first thing we'll throw out there is how have you seen us grow as a sisterhood over the years, and even for the younger sisters here, you know, we still have been going through a growth process. So, Tina Deborah, I'm going to ask you first, what's some of the growth that you've seen in the sisterhood over the past years or so?
I have seen the young ladies come up to be ladies of deep faith.
Hallelujah.
Actually understanding the Creator through having great love for Him. And that love has spilled over to each other. I see a closeness of, when we say family, it really means family with capital letters. And from where we started to come out of Christianity into the Word, I have seen the love just grow and grow, not only for the Creator, but for each other.
Yeah.
I have watched our children grow. One of them is sitting on the edge of about 19. They have to sit on my lap. Yeah, and it's just a beautiful thing to see.
I mean, Sister Chester, you're one of the youngest sisters, and you've been here for 10 years. What's some of the growth you've witnessed in the sisterhood since you've been in the assembly?
I think to kind of go along with what Ema said, just to see that the love, we allow the love for the Father to not get in the way.
Hallelujah.
And to really strive to work towards that and show the love of the Father. And that's been probably the thing that stands out to me the most.
Now, throughout the years, we know we face certain challenges. Sister Samaria, how do you feel about the different challenges as a sisterhood that we've had to, and you can share if you would like some challenges that we had to face together as a sisterhood and how we overcame those challenges.
Absolutely. Well, take any group of women, black women particularly, we have issues that society has ingrained in us.
Hallelujah.
Already. To be chatty, to backbite, and to jealous, and things like that. And those things do happen in Israel, and those things did happen and do happen sometimes amongst us. But like my young sister said, we love the Father more. So it's not that we don't go through things. In case point, there was one retreat where my sister Aliora and I were having a difference of opinion, and you know, I can be a certain way sometimes, and sometimes you have to know the person enough to see when they are being difficult and love them through it, or ignore them through it, and know that, you know, not to take personal. So although we did have a few words in the kitchen at the retreat, no one knew that we were at odds.
Hallelujah.
Until later, and before the sun had set, it was done.
Amen.
So they do come. Trials do come. We hear things from our Ema sometimes, no different than our natural mothers being teenagers. And we don't want to hear wisdom sometimes. But then after a while, we do submit to the wisdom. But, you know, we feel a certain way about it. But Ema's just doing her job of being a mother of daughters that are not her own in this walk. And I think we've done an excellent job being sisters, not of the same household or same upbringing, but being sisters under the banner of the Shia, greater love or greater connection. And I think I just want to say thank you all for putting up with me. I just want to be a piece of work.
Hallelujah. Sister Moria on the line, but Sister Moria, we'll ask you the question, what are some of the challenges that you've seen the sisterhood of Beth Yahweh work through, whether good, bad, or ugly, that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, not much different from Sister Samaria said. We're women, and we're not exempt from the issues that regular women and even regular sisters are going to go through. I remember when, there are relationships among us
without having previously discussed it with individuals, I don't feel like I should, you know, call their names. But
right.
In testimony, I would like to say that I have seen relationships in the past that were very strained on a regular basis. And you know, fast forward, you know, X amount of years, and it's behind them. It's behind us. It doesn't exist. It's not even, you would never know that, you know, that there was issues between us.
Right.
Because, like the sister said, you know, we're under the banner of Mashiach, and we have to love. We have to love through the good and through the bad and through the ugly and through the beautiful. And you know, and every relationship takes work. Every relationship has its ups and downs, and you're not going to always get along. But if we focus on love, you know, we get past these things. And I've seen it happen on multiple occasions, and even when relationships seemed to have ended and someone seemed to have removed themselves, the love was always there, so the opportunity to come back was always there, and it had been taken. We've seen that, you know, because we put the love first.
Amen. That's right. Hold on, Kofi. So we get a common thread that with Mashiach and with the love that we really work through a lot of the differences. Now, a lot of us, Sister Allard, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to make a comment regarding the growth of the sisterhood. Because many of us have been here for a long time, so when you think of the assembly as being our body, comparing the sisterhood to that and seeing how we have grown and matured and each individual growing into their particular purpose and calling in the body has allowed us to become an entity that functions as each of us has different talents, each of us has different strengths. The Most High uses each one of us in different ways, all to His glory. And we're learning to function in our roles and to support each other in their functioning roles and developing our daughters to know and understand who the Most High is helping them to help. I think that's very important, and I think it has helped our sisterhood really solidify the unity there.
And even as we experienced difficulties in the sisterhood, I think that was all a part of our growing. It was a part of the process of learning ourselves, learning each other, and fitting in better. You know, just like any relationship, like a marital relationship or sibling relationship, you grow and you rub each other the wrong way for a purpose. You know, so Father could bring things out that's in you that needs to be purged, and then vice versa with the relationship. Our sisterhood is different, I think, because I don't know all Israelite camps, but I have not met another camp that has sisterhood with longevity that we've had. Why, I'm going to ask this to you, Sister Haba, why do you think assemblies from having a strong sisterhood, the way the Father has blessed us to have our sisterhood?
Well, I think as far as the level of our strength, it's basically through, you know, a lot of the experiences that we've gone through together. And you were just saying something, you were mentioning about the trial. I think because we've all had individual trials, and then collectively as a sisterhood, all of us have had trials, that in itself has strengthened us because we've had to rely on each other.
Yeah.
You know, at times, sometimes there have been sisters, and I'm going to call myself out, you know, that have kind of drifted away, but knowing that there was always like a safety net there for me, you know, or there was somewhere to go back to.
Right.
And there was always a sister that I can call, that I can text, you know, somebody there that I knew was going to give me the proper guidance, was going to give me the proper help, you know. And I think because we've experienced so much over the years. I mean, there was a time when we first came in, a lot of the people who've been here over 20 years, where we've seen the sisterhood, and it wasn't in a good situation.
Right.
It wasn't strong. It was literally falling apart. And a lot of the younger sisters sat back and watched, and we were like, oh, my gosh. You know, is this what we have to look forward to? A lot of the older sisters weren't in great places. But I kind of see how Yahweh allowed a lot of that to fall away. And the ones who came up got stronger as a result of seeing what happened in the past. So I don't know what makes us special other than the love of the Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anything that makes us that extraordinarily unique other than that. And being in Echad, that oneness, you know, there's a lot of other congregations out there, a lot of other Israelites that have so much duality going on in their thinking that they never get the opportunity to really come into a oneness.
Mm.
We're not perfect in that.
Right.
But we have achieved, I don't know, it's the love, that love. And we all have a genuine love and concern and care for one another.
Yes.
As women, as mothers, as sisters. You don't see that in a lot of places. Not even in a lot of other churches.
That's true.
You know.
That's true. Would you be able to tell Laura?
I just wanted to add that one of the things that I think, just in observing what I know from other sisters, I want to say that our men support us in our sisterhood. Right? And I observe sometimes in other sisters where the men try to keep the women separate or don't allow the women to have a full grant. Our cousins, our brothers, they see us as helpmates.
Yes.
And they allow us to function in our role as women.
Hallelujah.
And they support us in that. And I think it's to the benefit of the entire assembly.
Hallelujah.
But it's also to the benefit of us as sisters, because it gives us the ability to work.
Hallelujah.
And that, you know, we're needed in our homes and things like that. But they also allow us the time to fellowship. They allow us the opportunity to do service. They support any initiatives that we come up with. They help us resolve issues where we have them to bring them in. And I think that's very important because the oneness in our home radiates to our
community.
Just to add a little more to the rest of the cell, yes, she was strong behind that. And one of the things is that helps with that is going back to our group. We came in from worldliness of I'm a strong woman, I'm a this, I'm a that. Well, we learned the word, and the word said the man is the head.
And then
we were not afraid to accept that. We studied the word, we learned about it, and we found out that's for our good.
That's right.
And as Sister Ellie always saying, we stay in our place. We know that the men are our heads, and we look to them in the support that they give us. It unifies us also. And that gives us, and we know that not only do we have each other as a strong wall, but we got a strong wall
around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm really glad that you brought the men up, and, you know, Scripture talk about giving credit, giving honor where honor is due, and, you know, for those that joined the sisterhood's mother-daughter tea, you know, that was one of the greatest moments of our men stepping up to support the sisterhood. We invited and opened up our hearts and our accommodations to our friends and family to come and join us at a mother-daughter tea. And our husbands, our teachers,
our elders. You know, we even had a little mini-me, all of 2 years old, you know, who came to serve, and they served us. And they, you know, they, what did you need me to do? And they did it, you know, and it was one of our finest moments, you know, like Sister Aliyah would say, how they supported us because we had an initiative, we had a vision, and we walked it out, but it would have been impossible without our men. It really would not have been what we wanted it to be if it were not for our men. But I want to just remain in the conversation because I want to direct the next question. Miriam, are you there still?
To me?
Yes, sir.
No, tell me on the line, Mary.
To
Miriam?
All right. No, Sister Miriam.
I'm right here.
I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts of the state of women in Israel today? What are some of your thoughts on that?
The state of Israel?
The women in Israel.
Oh. Ooh, the state of the women in Israel.
Yes, ma'am. Any, you have any thoughts about that?
I do. I feel as though they're not in their proper place. Functioning in their proper place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that once we, like we said, we talked about this before, once we get the men or the men getting in order, then the women will fall in order also. I think that we need the heads to fall in line, and then the women will fall behind them. There's a lot of confusion. You know, Satan has been busy, and he deceived the world. So, yeah, that's about it. A lot of confusion with our women today, and their understanding about the word.
Thank you, sis. Thank you for that. Your thoughts. Your concerns or your thoughts on the state of women of Israel today?
I think a lot of broken.
Mm.
Heartbroken. Men not stepping up to be the head, not allowing women to be the head. And when they're not getting the emotional the emotional support that they need, the women then turn to other things, be it other people or other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they turn and their hearts are broken and they're crying and it's just so much sadness and they don't know which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with the lady that I go to class with, and she gets so broken because so much stuff is going on and she thinks she's not functional, but she really is. She just needs that support.
Mm-hmm.
And something I was talking to Sister Samari about is having something where women can come to just to talk and, you know, get some emotional support and just to let them know that somebody loves them. They can make it. The Messiah loves them. We just need them to call them. A lot of churches aren't telling them or teaching this to them. So they just feel like they're just out here alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, you know, talk to Sister Samaria to have something like that, to let them know you're not alone, you know, that you have someone that you can talk to. And things gonna be okay. You just have to surrender surrender yourself to Messiah, and He'll lead and guide you. This woman broke her chain, and it's a testimony that this woman broke her chain, and I let her know that the Father gave her something, a staff from the Sister Elior told me. The Father gave her a staff, which is a walking chain, because she legally blocked, and it broke. And then He provided another to let her know
I'm not going to let you go. Mm-hmm. Your God, just surrender yourself to me and allow me to guide you. Mm-hmm. And when she got this chain, she said, wow, Yahweh was the 23rd song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was a beautiful thing to let her know. So you see, the Father's not going to leave you without.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to guide you. You just have to surrender yourself. He took your vision. He needs you to follow him, not follow yourself, not follow the ways of the world, but follow him. He didn't know who he got. That was a beautiful thing to see, witness for myself, because it's also a testimony.
Yes.
Confirmation as well. And I thank you, Sister Elior, because you told me that one thing. And I thank you, Sister Samari, because we had talked about this thing, and, you know, that's something that's needed out there, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of broken systems.
Thank you, sis. And let's talk about that for a moment, brokenness. Because when I see in women in Israel, there's a lot of brokenness, a lot of women who are walking around hurting and struggling to keep their eyes on Mashiach, and they're broken. You know, I know in Israel there's a lot of abuse among women, being abused by their husbands and being abused in relationships, whether they try to pervert marriage into polygamy or just mistreat their wives and so on and so forth. And anybody else that's on the line, I see we have a couple of people listening in. If you want to join the conversation, just press 1 on your phone, and I know that you want to interject, and we'll definitely include you in the conversation. But let's talk about it for a moment. What are your thoughts about the brokenness that we see, that we know, that exists in the heart of women, whether in or outside of Yisrael? Anybody want to talk on that? So, Tirsa.
The thought that the Father just gave me, he created man, he said the two become one in marriage, he said the two become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of go along with the Sabbathian thing, there are a lot of women out here who feel this down, and they feel brokenhearted, or they feel hurt because they've been misused or mistreated. What they're really missing is the love of the Father. And like Sister Lydia said, they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And they need encouragement and guidance to lead them back to the Father. And I'm quite sure all of us can attest to having husbands and having issues, and what we learn to rely on is the love of the Father to help us work through these things, you know, and that's what a lot of the women need, and that's what's missing.
Yes.
And once you learn to rely on that, it makes it easier for you to learn how to work through whatever issues you have. If you don't turn to substances, don't turn to materialistic things to help you try to mend or fix the things that are wrong. You know, you let the Father lead and guide you into what's going to be beneficial for your relationship. And that doesn't just apply in your home with your husband. This applies even with us as a sister.
Right.
And that kind of goes back to what I said earlier, really understanding the love of the Father. But when you recognize that, what can't you work? Mm-hmm. What can't you do?
That's true.
And that's what's missing.
That's true. Okay. Sister Moria, you wanted to chime in on the question here?
On the
brokenness of Israel?
Yeah, you know, the word says that the woman is the weaker vessel, and the adversary knows that, and the adversary uses that part of us which is our weak link, which is that part of us that makes us the weaker vessel, which is our emotions. And he doesn't allow us to forgive ourselves of past mistakes. He doesn't allow us to see the best in ourselves. He doesn't allow us to focus on what we really should be focusing on, which is the Most High. We should, our priority should be, first and foremost, establishing a personal relationship with the Creator.
That's right.
And focusing on that, and then learning for ourselves individually the love that Mashiach has for us, the love that the Most High has for us. really, it's hard. I mean, you know, we've all been in love. We're, you know, we're wives and mothers and daughters and all that, you know. But love is one of those, sometimes you can't find quite the right words to describe it. But it's even more awesome trying to wrap our heads around the love the Father has for us. And I think that if women, and, you know, not just women, but since the topic is women, if we were able to do that, then we would be able to pick ourselves up when these things break us. Because, you know, the word does say we'll have instances where we become weak, but that's when he becomes strong for us. And we don't stay in that state long.
Right.
Because we understand what the love is the Father has for us. We understand what forgiveness is. We understand what fallibility is. We understand what it means to be in the flesh. We understand all these things where we wouldn't allow ourselves to be broken and turning around and allowing ourselves to be abused by husbands, being abused, you know, physically, emotionally, financially. You know, I remember hearing, you know, I have a friend, you know, Malka has, same friend. He's a police officer in New York City. And out of his mouth, his experience with the Israelite community in Brooklyn, you know, it's shameful to know that one of the highest rates of physical abuse is within those homes. And these women stay there under the guise of, well, he's you know, quote-unquote a righteous man, or where else am I going to go, for, you know. And they just have to let go of that carnal, right now, today, physical thinking and try to grasp on a more spiritual thinking, a more thought process, you know, my relationship with the Creator, and be able to pick themselves up and move on and move forward.
I mean, Tora Akoti. You know, Miriam, you want to chime in? Miriam, on this question?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You know, the flushes get worried. You know, we don't have the strength. But once we turn to the Creator, he's our strength. And see, a lot of people is missing it because, why? Because they don't turn back to the Father. Once you turn back to the Father, he will begin to mend and put your life back together as one whole. You know, but we first must turn back to him in order for him to work in our lives. And that's why a lot of people, because they're stuck in what you call sin.
That is true. I mean, a lot of people in the nation, a lot of our women, our sisters, years ago, space or a website, it was called the Wailing Women, and it was like online support for women in the nation who were in pain, you know, because like Ima Bitiya said, there's not necessarily a support group for us as women where we can go to and love up on one another. I mean, Beth Yahweh, we have that within our sisterhood. But as a whole, you know, there is no body or system where broken women in Israel can go to for help if they're being abused by their husbands or being mistreated by their assembly, because I've heard atrocious stories of people being mistreated by the assembly. You know, and women being victimized and the assemblies are not doing anything on women's behalf because they just say, that's between you and your husband. And my eyes go crossways if that would ever happen in our assembly, because one thing for sure, two things for certain, our men fear the Most High. Mm-hmm. And we cannot put up with foolishness. It will be addressed. It will be dealt with. It will be dealt with. But so, you know, maybe that's something in the future we can work on as a sister. You know, we always want a new project. Yeah. You know, hallelujah. You know, the best Yahweh sisterhood outreach society. You know? I mean, we've gone through many experiences. That there's a reason why we go through the things we've gone through. It's not just for us so we can say, been there, done that. But there's people out there in the world that we're going to meet that has gone through the same situation, and we can say, hey, I got the right sister for you to talk to, you know. But brokenness is an issue within women, you know, in Israel. Kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about the men, because one of the things Sister Miriam brought up was that, you know, once the men lined up and played their position properly, it would be a whole lot easier for the women to not fall into their places. What are your thoughts, overall condition of the men in Israel? And that, I'm talking about overall. You know, when you look out on the internet and in different cities and so on and so forth, what are some of the things that we're seeing that is happening that is, to a certain degree, might be hindering the body of Messiah or the nation of Israel? Sister Alior?
The biggest thing that I see as an issue is pride.
It's simple.
And, you know, we know what the scripture says about that, and we know what it leads to. And unfortunately, because they're in the internet, anybody can set themselves up as a preacher, like you say, whatever. And unfortunately, everyone hasn't been called by the Most High, and everyone has not been sent.
Hallelujah.
Even if you're called, He sends you when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everybody's not ready because of the nature of our flesh. We're speaking about men, but it can be women as well. People are setting themselves up as teachers and speaking words that are not of the Most High and leading people astray. And then if the head is going in the wrong direction, if we're teaching in error or out of turn or things that are inappropriate, then you have people that are following you. And then we have, you know, confusion. And we know that that is not of the Most High. And I think that's what I see as a large problem.
Yep.
I see something also. I see a lot of Israelites wanting, still being the word and claiming the thought. And I can speak on that a little bit. You have to pick a side. You can't be a rapper with a grill and a head wrap and saying the Most High's name any kind of way. Not a good book. And wanting money and wanting a lot of wives and things like that. It's worldly. It's worldly. And some of these brothers, they may call, you know, on the Most High's name properly, and they call on God's name properly, and they, you know, they look the part, as we learned recently. It's not about looking the part.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing, see the believer, is about what we try to get Most High's name in
there.
So, brothers, I just encourage you, some of that go. You have to let some of those worldly things go, unfortunately, because your women and your children need you.
Yes.
So, he said, deny yourself and send the word. Paul said, I got them. But Messiah said, you have to first deny yourself in order to be able to see what you
do. Good point. Ema?
Really, with that also, what I see is something we have talked about is being for women, for us to nurture oneself. But that's something that has been taken from our men. And it's not easy for them to nurture one another. So therefore, you have pride in the way everybody to be the head. Nobody wants the power. But it's for, if you are looking to the Creator, then you know that He has said it, that He has ways for you to be nurtured. He has His reasons that He has anointed, but He also, just like with Moses, He gave Him 70 elders because He couldn't do it all himself. He went to the elders for their experience. They had experience not only in the Word, but, and Moses was the head of that, but they had worldly experience that He needed. So it's to let that pride go. Recognize your elders. Go to them for that nurturing, because they can nurture. They have been nurtured. They come up for a lot of years to know, okay, this is what the world is, but this is what the Word says. Go get that word from them. Go get that nurturing. And I know that that makes us women stronger. I think it also makes men stronger.
Anybody else? I think that one of the things that hinder our men is fear. You know, I really, because for a lot of our brothers, this is their first generation. You know, they're the ones who are just now, you know, however long they've been walking with the father this long. You know, they didn't learn this from a father or uncle. They didn't learn this because they were brought up this way. It was like, you're in the world and you're told that, you know, you're a mama's boy or your baby boy, you know, and then you come into an awakening and you realize I'm the head. I have authority. I have people looking to me for direction. And that gets their knees knocking because it's something that they've never seen. They don't have an experienced person that they can follow. But like Ema said, we do have elders. Well, in our assembly, we do have elders. I'm sure there's other assemblies that have elders in it. But I think about some of these smaller groups where they don't have that leadership to try to ease them into the roles they need to play, to come up beside them, alongside them, and mentor them and support them along the way. But as women, you know, what's a practical way? I want to rate things practically. You know, we're dealing with men that some of them might be broken themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're dealing with pride. They're dealing with not being able to decide. We want the world. We want the most high. We have men dealing with fear. Practically, as women, what can we do to best support them so they can be the men that Yah has created them to be? What are some of our thoughts on that? How can we practically, tangibly say, okay, this is my plan of action when I'm dealing with my husband or my son or my brother to help them so they can, because we need that from them. Any ideas on how we can do that? Anyway.
I think the first thing is to know your husband. If you don't know your husband, then your route in trying to help him may not be as successful.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to the Father about what the Father would have you do. And really learning to use the fruits of the Spirit. Because if whatever they're experiencing is not necessarily a struggle for us, then we have to be patient and encouraging them. Whatever it is that they're doing. And it's going to be a task, and it's not going to always be easy. Yeah, it's not going to always be easy. So really getting to know your husband and going to the Father about how he would have to deal with your husband and some of those things, and being steadfast and trying to apply those things and understanding that it's work. It's work.
Sister Ahava?
Going along with work. The tears have said, you know, the word says a woman can win her husband through her chaste behavior. So they think, you know, hard sometimes, but, you know, through experience, I really understand, me personally, that you really have to intercede for your husband.
Yes.
You really have to, because a lot of the things that they go through, you're on the opposite end. You're like, oh, just got me crazy. It's like, okay, what's going on? You know, but when you really, really get down and you intercede on their behalf, the Father will let you, will give you the understanding, give you the patience, whatever tools you need to be able to deal with them. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, it's gonna be hurt feelings. It's gonna be sadness. It's gonna be tears. But truly, what I've learned in my walk is that is the way. There is no other way. I mean, that is our help. Yahweh fashioned that man. He fashioned us. So he knows what that man needs better than what we do. That's the way.
Sis Aliora.
I'm in agreement with everything that was said. And just to add to that, so you're asking what can we do? Study and know the word.
Hallelujah.
Because they need wise counsel.
Hallelujah.
And we always want to the same way we're in prayer and communication with the Father. We want to possibly direct our husbands back to the Father as well. Because the scripture says the Torah is ours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our guidance. It is our instruction for anything in life. So we need to be able to use that word wherever we find our spouses, sons, other brothers struggling with. We know we don't just struggle with flesh and blood.
Oh, yeah.
It's spiritual things. So we fight with the spirit.
That's right.
So we have to have our sword sharpened the same way men are expected to. Women have to have that too.
That's
we
right.
Have to be able to fight the adversary. And that is our work.
Hallelujah.
Miriam wants to
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I agree with both Ahavel and Sister Eliel. Like Ahavel was saying, how the women have to win the husband with the chaste behavior. And it's so true because there's nothing that we can do but be as a helpmate, like the Creator said, to be to our husband and be obedient. And the second thing is he says something in the Word. He said that he going to send Elijah the prophet to turn the heart of the fathers back to the men. Am I correct? So there's a process that has to take place to have these men in order. You understand what I'm saying? So something is going to take place, but it's just we have to be patient with the men. And like I said, win by your chaste behavior. Do what we're supposed to do. Get our swords ready, you know, because when they fall in line, we're going to fall right with them.
Hallelujah. That's right. Torah approaching. I think we have Ima Cheryl. Ima Cheryl, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was here all the time. I just couldn't get the phone straightened out. But I just start from the beginning. I am Ima Cheryl from St. Louis, and I have been 6 years with the Camp Beth Yahweh. And, again, I'm from St. Louis, so I'm not there in Baltimore with the majority of the sisters, but from where I sit and from what I see and when I explain it to anybody, I tell them that Yahweh placed a bunch of women, of sisters in my life who are not perfect, but they are doing all they know how to do to walk in up the word of Yahweh in love. So that's how I see it, and I just wanted to get to the commentary going around about the sisters. Oftentimes, sisters follow brothers into the truth, and they may not have known about it, but they meet this brother, they like this brother, he tells them this is what I'm into and this is what I'm doing, so they wrap up their head and they follow him into what they thinking is the truth, and they thinking that because he presents himself as someone that's, you know, really adapting the word, and they're thinking that that is what they're going to get, and they come in and they carry it under the illusion. They carry it fast. You know, there's two or three other women on the line, you know, and so those women become broken and they run back out. They're not nurtured. They don't have anyone to come and get them, to nurture them, to say, hey, but you know what? If you just come and stand down, stand still, and let the love of Yahweh overtake you. See, and that's a lot of times that's not what the sisters have. You know, I kind of feel in my heart that, you know, you can see as you look around Israel, everybody don't have a camp with Yahweh. Everybody don't have a strong wall of sisterhood. Everybody don't have the brothers that you women have, the brothers that's standing up and living all they know how to live, that's living their lives above reproach. These women that I've been hearing, we've been discussing, don't have that, and that's what's needed. It's not that they're perfect. It's not that they've already arrived. It is because they fear Yahweh, and they are willing to be governed by the word of Yah. Same thing for the
Yah.
To be governed by the word of Yah. Then you don't have anything. You just out here, you know, like a clanging cymbal. But you have to be governed by the word. The word is what has to overtake you. And then your healing can start. No matter what you've been through, all of us have been through, none of you women that I know of personally are being hit. You're not being called anything other than what your parents named you. And you have a lot of that going on. The abuses that's in Israel is just terrible. Among the different camps, it's terrible. It's awful. One man married two or three women, just going around, just taking wives, divorcing one, marrying another, divorcing one, marrying another, and the women that he's leaving behind are devastated. So what's the solution? I mean, what has to happen, you know, to deal with all these abuses? As I was studying and in my study over the years, it was only in Israel, that women were treated fairly and decently, because Yahweh God had set up a law concerning the women, and how even if he took a sister in battle, there were laws on how he was supposed to address the sister, what was supposed to happen. So the other nations around them, their women wasn't treated like that. They were treated like chattel. They were just, whenever the guy got tired of them or he found some uncleanness in them, he just threw them to the side. But that wasn't supposed to be in Israel. What is going on that we have all these abuses in Israel?
That's right. That's a good
thought, Ema.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm listening now.
Oh, okay, Ema. Thank you for that thought. Like you said, there's stuff going on in Israel that needs to be fixed. Like Sister Miriam also pointed out, you know, we wait for that day where the scripture says that we wait for Eliyah, because when the Father sent that spirit back into the earth, it's to order what's been crooked. Mm-hmm. And a lot of crookedness is going to be dealt with in the near future. Sister Moria, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment in the question about how do we practically help our husbands. And one of the things we want to do is be mindful of the things that we should have them do. A lot of women, you know, we come from families where single mothers, and we saw, you know, mommy do it all. And we've kind of come up as that generation of women who are used to doing it all and getting it done, and, you know, and we don't allow our husbands to make decisions. We don't allow our husbands to, you know, handle our finances. We don't depend on our husbands, because we have been raised to be selfless. So one of the practical things that we can do is what we don't do. I mean, it's what we should not be actively doing, which is, you know, be in that position of a man instead of just having them be the head. And they may need to be, you know, walk through that decision process. You know, honey, what do you think? Sweetheart, can you take care of this? If the positions have to be shifted, it doesn't have to be tomorrow, from now on you do this. But I think that's an important point in practice, if we're going to have our men take on these roles that they may be lacking in. Do we find ourselves doing that thing for them so often that they don't have a need to?
Very, very good comment, Akoti, and thank you for that. Ema, Deborah, you
have... You know, so right, and adding that to what Sister Aliara said about us studying, staying in that word, we're also being prayed up all the time, keeping our connection with that thought. Because of the fact that if we want to help our husband, we need to go to the Father first to know what to say, when to say it, or what to say
at all. Hallelujah.
Shut up, mouth. We need to know that. And we need to know when he do tell us to go to our husband, how to go to our husband. But we have to go to the Father and get those instructions. Because sometimes he does use us, because sometimes we actually see a different, we can show our husbands a different side. We have the more nurturing side. They have the more judgmental side. And the two are balanced. He made us both, the male and female.
That's right.
They need that.
So we need to go to that Father first and don't step out of our way to him, Father, because we always want to be the favorite.
Yeah, I call that the Messiah complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just care of an issue, and you already got three different ways to try to solve. But it's because we have a word, and we, those of us who understand the teaching of the word, we know that's the feminine aspect of the Most High, and the word is quick to do a work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tell me you got a problem, I'm trying to solve it, but. Scripture also says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So we have to learn to subject that spirit of health when we're dealing with our husbands, because men want to feel like men. They don't want to feel like their children. And, you know, yeah, you know, and even with our sons. I mean, I don't have natural born sons, but we want to grow our sons up as well where they feel like they can be men and decision makers. And, you know, Sister Teresa, you have voice. You can speak more on it. Sister Aliura, you have voice. You can speak more on it. That we kind of, as they grow up, we kind of yield that mothering so they can transition more into that manhood where they're not so much cleaving to us anymore, but they're now, go to your father.
Right.
You know, go to your father. But, you know, yeah, that's a great idea. Go to your father. You know, don't be the rock with me. Go to Home Depot with him. You know, that kind of transition.
That literally just happened to me today.
Hallelujah.
I was going to the market. My youngest son was
cannot pick this up.
My husband had to go to Home Depot.
You're lying. Oh, my gosh.
My husband said, who are you going to go to? Me or your mother? I was in my said, you go with your father.
Wow.
I knew nothing about that. Father
it's
is awesome.
It's wonderful. Hallelujah.
I have done, and, you know, just really looking at there, like we said earlier, there's a lot of women out there that you do not have men in their home that are really striving to serve the Father. And for you to send your sons to your husband to say, hey, look what your father doing. This is what you need to be doing.
Right.
You know, so... My sons, hey, we got to walk out there. Y'all can't cut the grass. But, hey, I gave a suggestion. Why don't you get a wasp balm to put in the... Oh, that's a great idea. He went out to get some, hey, go with your father so you can see what he's...
Right.
They need to know these things.
Right.
That's right. They need to know these things. And there are a lot of women out there that feel like, I don't need a man. I can do this all myself. I can raise my son to be a man. You're not a man.
Right.
They need a man there to show them what it is. And not just for what we consider man. Yeah, like according to the world, what man is. Yeah, but according to what the Father says, you are the head of your household.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know how to go to the Father and pray for their household.
Yes.
They need to know how. These things are very, very important when they have a man, or when we as sisters, I'm quite sure all of us can affect this, having a man in your house to pray over you. To pray over your husband and to seek the Father the things that you would have them have, you know, for your household. That's a blessing.
Wonderful.
It really, really, truly is a blessing. And to be a part of that is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of piggyback on what you were saying. It's so funny that this topic has come up because even in the world, they're talking about it. You know, I was listening to. I think it was either the Steve Harvey Morning Show, Hungry Word, or D.L. Hughley, and they were talking about the very same thing, particularly about black mothers and raising their sons. And they were saying how, you know, a lot of women have a tendency to coddle the boys. And by the time they get to a certain age, these boys turn into men and do not know how to function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, a lot of us, even within Israel, were raised in single-parent homes. And you know, coming from a single-parent home and then getting married and having children of my own, you see the imbalance. You know, you see the imbalance because, you know, when I got married, I didn't know how to be a wife to a husband because I never saw it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an adjustment because there were things that he was expecting from me because he was raised with a mother and a father, I didn't know it was like it was totally foolish. And I had to learn hard lessons. You know what I mean? I had to learn hard lessons over and over again until it got to the point where it was like,
oh, light bulb went off. I get it. You know, so yeah, it, the family structure
link
is truly important to the Most High.
Yes.
And, you know, this is why he says, and it may sound a little hypocritical, but this is why the word says now we hate divorce, because that separation in the family brings destruction.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. You know, to answer that, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is a true story. And my husband and my grandson, I was killed, so they stood on the test. But you know, just to know how our men make such an impression on our young, on our children, grandchildren. My husband used to work for the railroad and he worked. So, of course, when he would come in, he would go straight to the shower because he worked outside and had all that stuff on. So, the grandson had came over for the weekend, and while my husband was in the shower, he's talking to him through the door. So, my husband comes out and he puts on, for the, on his clothes. Well, he put on his underwear set first, and it was one of those thermal underwear sets that the, was like the camouflage type. Well, what are you doing? We looked around, I ran from, I got that shirt.
So, oh my God. So he had on
his thermal underwear set just like you, and he marched right behind every step
behind the mate. So we're sitting down at the dinner table with them in thermal underwear.
But he was the happiest thing because all he could do was just, you know, whatever Papa said, whatever Papa did. Even to this day, he had somebody commenting on his beard, and he said, yes, because my grandpa don't play that. It makes a big difference. He has this full beard, and he's proud of it. And
hallelujah.
Because of the way he walked and showed him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're winding down, and before I let us go, we've been talking about on regular blog talks, it's the show, talking about the attributes of strong walls, understanding that, you know, there are certain things and attributes we need as sisters. And so far, the Father has had us discuss accountability, the importance of that, and giving good counsel. So I just want to go around the room and pick everybody else's brain. And because, you know, some people just take titles and say, I'm a sister, I'm a Ema, and they really don't know what that calls for. Almost like when you're, you know, you're growing up, you say, I want to be a husband, I want to be a wife. But you have no idea what you're saying out of your mouth. You know, so if we could just go around the room real quick and just, you know, when you think about a sister, a strong wall, what is it that you're looking for? Because I've learned not to just call anybody sister, and the sister says that as well, you know. What is it that you personally need from a sister? Because we want to be Aya, Asha, Aya to one another. You know, we want to complete and complement one another. I don't want to be able to know your need so I can try to meet it or even pray to meet it so the Father can give me the skills or the resource. So we don't put that we don't always have because we don't ask. So let's just go around the room and share, and we'll get our sisters online to share after we bring to the table. What is it that you need from your sister, from the sisterhood?
Little one, I could get one word out of you. Can I?
I guess
you could
say, consistency and reliability.
Wow.
You can't have to do that. Like, the whole point is that whenever you need something, you know that it's always going to be like, at least one of your sisters, you know that if you have this problem, you can go to them. Always, if you have this problem, you do it in college. They're reliable, and they will consistently be your sister. It's not like today, I'm not your sister. Today, I can't have today, you can't have you have to be consistent. Like, with sisters, with your blessings, you don't get to choose to be somebody's sister and to not be their sister.
That's right.
So you have to be consistent because, like you said with you, you would want somebody to return that, those qualities.
Definitely. Oh, well worth the wait. Thank you. Do me a live. It's a hava. For me personally, what I think I need is honesty. to another sister and just be honest, you know, not sugarcoat things, not, you know, tell me what I want to hear. I want the truth, no chaser.
Hallelujah.
Because that's the only way. You know, that's the only way with some people, with me, you know, some people that really, really, you know, get to their heart, get to the spirit of that person. And, you know, accountability as well. It's like, you know, Eliane said, you know, communication, you know. I'm going to text.
I would have to say this kind of came out at our retreat this year. The companionship.
I mean,
one of the things that I need, I do have friends that's not in the Facebook. And one of the things that I know I lean on them for is companionship. So it's like companionship.
Sister Aliora?
I'm going to say love and understand. I don't expect everyone to be perfect. So I would hope that people would not expect that of me. Just to love me for who I am. Understand that I'm on a path of growth. And support me in that. In any way that
you see God. Amen. Hallelujah. Ima Deborah.
And as to me, what you said is I look to you all not only just for companionship and fellowship, I need that, but I look to y'all for growth for me. I don't want my head to be so big. Called Ima, and I know y'all love me. And how y'all look for me, but to keep me grounded too. I know that I'm never too old to learn, and I need to keep looking to the Father to be me always. Especially if I think I'm going to tell y'all anything, no, it's got to be what the Father said.
Oh, yeah.
That said, Yahweh will give me strength to continue.
Amen. You want this here?
I think as one of the younger sisters, I've learned a lot from you all. Cause I look to you all as my older sisters and my elders. And I couldn't ask for better sisters. I really couldn't. You know, you guys have been a wonderful example of sometimes the things that I should be doing, sometimes the things I should not be doing. But I learned from that too. You know, I just want to tell you, watch it all.
Hallelujah.
But I just like for you guys to continue what you're doing. You all have your own individual personalities and the things that the Most High called you to do, and just continue to walk in that because I'm learning something. And that gives me encouragement and it gives me strength to continue as your little sister to be a strong walk for you.
But just continue. So, before I open the line, I'm going to answer the question myself, and I'm going to say, I get a sense of loyalty, because I didn't realize, you know, our sisterhood has gotten a couple of black eyes in the past year or so, and it hurt me deeply because I didn't believe that the charges or accusations that were being made or how we were being pictured was not a fair or true representation of the sisterhood of Beth Yahweh, and I felt like the people it came from were being disloyal because we have a bond, you know, we're sisters, you know, it's like it hurts because someone that you love or people that you love and you trust and they're the ones who are, just like Messiah, making these accusations. You're like, really? Are we really doing that? And, you know, some of them we had to examine, and we did do that. We were very reflective as a sisterhood. You know, are we really doing that? And we asked each other individually, collectively, we asked other people outside our immediate camp, is this what you see in the sisterhood? Because we don't want, we fear, yeah, we don't want to
if we're really doing these things, we really wanted to know. And the Father knew that a lot of the things that we were accused of, we were not guilty of. And it made me value loyalty, to know that the people that I sit with and I worship with and that I cry with and I laugh with, that you got my back, you know. You really have my back. So for me, it was a sense of loyalty, and it only developed because of situation we went through, and I realized how it felt to deal with loyalty. Sister Miriam, what is it that
yes,
you mean from sisterhood? You're live on the air.
When I think about a strong wall, I think about a protector, a covering. When I think about a sisterhood, I think of it as being everything that I need and vice versa. I'm being everything that another person needs, you know, whether it's a shoulder to cry on, whether it's somebody just to listen, whether, you know, they let them give me a hug, or, you know, whatever I need them to be, just like the Father is with us, I think that that's what sisterhood should be.
Hallelujah. Toda, sis. Ima Cheryl, what is it that you need from the sisterhood? Ima Cheryl, are you there? All right, we'll get back to Ima Cheryl. Sister Moria, what are some of the attributes that you're looking for in the sisterhood, or what are your needs from your sisters?
Are you hearing me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I would say dependability is really important. And
dependability?
Yes, being able to depend on my sister, knowing just and vice versa. And I think it's also really important for my sister, patient. You know, like mentioned before, I'm a work in progress. I'm going to make mistakes.
Hallelujah.
And be patient with me and know me well enough to know that, you know, that I'm just that, a work in progress.
Toda Akoti. We're going to try Ima Cheryl one more time. Ima Cheryl, are you there? All right, sorry, Ima Cheryl. All right, ladies, I want to thank you all for sitting in and introduce world. My strong wall, you know. I love each one of you.
And we love each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Guys are great. Really awesome. All right, my Blog Talk family, thank you for sharing this time with us. Thank you for listening. And y'all willing, we'll be back next week, and the Father's going to have us talk about being faithful to one another as strong walls. Until next time, family, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom.